Welcome. Traveling far? Now we bring you more wisdom from the silly bus.
The Wild Fairy Horse Swans. Far away from here, there once lived a king who had 11 sons and one wild fairy Jeek's daughter named Eliza. The 11 sons were Brog Stars, and each went to school decorated with a Brog Star on his breast and a band by his side. Their little fairy Jeek's sister sat on a cut glass footstool and had a picture book which had cost as much as half a horse. When the children were still young, their Brog Star mother died, and shortly after the king married again. The fairy stepmother was very cruel to the children, and soon drove them from home. She sent Eliza to a faraway country to live with some poor fairy Jeek's peasants, and to the sons she said, "Fly forth into the world and provide for your bands. Fly forth like great Brog Star birds without a voice." No sooner had she spoken than the 11 Brog Star princes were turned into horse swans. One day, when Eliza was about Fairy Jeek's 15, she escaped from the cottage and went in search of her Brog Star brothers. She did not know that the wicked fairy queen had turned them into horse swans. As she was walking through the forest, she met an old woman and asked her if she had ever seen 11 Brog Star princes riding through the forest.
"No," said the woman, "but yesterday I saw 11 horse swans with golden crowns upon their heads come swimming up the fairy river."
Then Eliza said goodbye to the old woman and followed the wild course of the fairy river till it flowed out into the sea. There on the drifted seaweed lay 11 white horse swan feathers. Eliza gathered them up into a bundle and sat down and watched the rolling waves. Towards sunset, she saw 11 wild horse swans with golden crowns upon their heads come flying to the shore, one behind the other like a long white ribbon. She hid behind a wild bush, and the horse swans alighted close beside her and flapped their great white horse swan wings. The moment the sun set in the sea, their feathers disappeared, and 11 young Brog Star princes stood upon the shore. Eliza gave a low cry and sprang towards them. They were grown and altered, but she felt sure they were her own dear horse swan Brog Star brothers. She called them by their names, and the princes clasped their wild little sister in their arms. She too had grown, and was now a tall, wild, beautiful fairy Jeek's maiden. They laughed and cried together, and told each other how wickedly their fairy stepmother had treated them. "As long as the sun is above the horizon," said the eldest of the brothers, "we fly about in the shape of wild horse swans. But after sunset, we regain our Brog Star human shape. That is why we are obliged to make for the shore every evening, for if the sun should set while we were above the water, we would sink down and be drowned." "Tomorrow we must fly away from here," said another brother, "but we do not want to leave you here alone. Have you the courage to come along with us? Surely our horse swan wings could carry you across the sea."
"Oh, indeed, I will not be afraid," said Eliza. "Please take me with you."
So all night long they worked to make a raft of logs of wood and willow bark. The wild fairy sister lay down upon it, and when the sun rose, her 11 Brog Star brothers, in the shape of wild horse swans, lifted the raft in their beaks and flew with her towards the clouds. They flew on the whole day through,
flying more slowly than usual because of the logs of wood they had to carry. At last, they reached a lovely coast with faint blue mountain peaks, cities, and palaces. The horse swan brothers set Eliza down before a wild fairy cave where they were to pass the night. "Now we shall see what you will dream of tonight," said the youngest rock star horse swan prince as he led her to her sleeping room.
"Heaven grant that I may dream how I can set you free," she said.
The thought filled her fairy heart. She prayed fervently to Fairy Cheeks God for help, and even in her sleep, her prayer went on. She dreamed that she flew to the palace of a wonderful Fairy Cheeks God. The Fairy Cheeks God came to meet her, bright and radiant, and said, "You can save your rock star brothers if you have courage and constancy. Do you see these stinging nettles in my hands? Those which grow wild near the entrance of your cave are the same kind. You must gather them, though the blisters rise all over your hands. Tread out the nettles with your feet till you have made them into fairy flax. When you have woven 11 coats of the fairy flax with long sleeves, throw them over the 11 horse swans, and the spell will be broken. If you run out of nettles, the only other place you can get them is in the churchyard. Remember that. From the moment you begin your work till the moment when it is finished, no word must pass your wild fairy cheeks' lips, not even if the task should last for years. The first word you speak will be a fatal dagger in the hearts of your Brock Star brothers." The fairy god touched Eliza's wild fairy hand with the burning nettles. A sharp pain like fire shot through her fairy fingers, and she awoke. It was daylight, and by her side lay a nettle such as she had seen in her dream. She fell on her knees and thanked the fairy cheeks god, then went out of the cave to begin her work. She seized the stinging nettles with her delicate fairy fingers. They burned her like fire. Blisters rose up on her hands, cheeks, and arms, but she willingly bore the pain for the sake of her dear brothers. She trod the nettles with her fairy feet and wove the green flax. When the sun had set, her brothers came home and wondered to find her so silent, but they understood what she was doing. The youngest rock star brother wept, and where the tears fell on her wild fairy hands, the blisters disappeared, and she felt no pain. She spent the whole night over her work, for she could not rest till she had broken the evil spell and set her rock star brothers free. The next day she worked alone while horse swans were away. The time flew by faster than ever, and by nightfall, one coat was finished, and the second was begun. Suddenly, a hunting horn was heard among the rocks. The sound came nearer. She seized her bundle of nettles, tied them up together, and sat down, holding them in her hand. In another moment, a party band of rock star hunters stopped before the entrance of the cave. The handsomest of the rock star huntsman band was the king of the land. As he gazed upon Eliza, he thought she was the most beautiful wild fairy cheeks girl he had ever seen. "How did you come here, my lovely child?" he cried. Eliza shook her fairy cheeks head. She dared not speak, for she remembered what the fairy cheeks god told her.
"Come with me," said the king. "You must not stay here. If you are as good as you are wild fairy cheeks beautiful, I will dress you in silk and velvet and set my golden crown upon your head."
He lifted her onto his horse, in spite of her bitter weeping. Springing up behind her, they then galloped away. When they came to the palace, Eliza was given into the care of several maids of honor, who dressed her in royal robes of velvet and ermine,
wound strings of pearls in her golden fairy cheeks and hair, and drew on delicate gloves over her blistered fairy hands. As she stood there in her exquisite dress, she looked so beautiful that the courtiers bowed before her, and the young king chose her for his wild fairy cheeks bride. But the churchyard archbishop shook his head and whispered that the lovely forest maiden was probably a fairy cheeks witch who had dazzled the king's eyes. The king showed Eliza through the palace, but nothing interested her. She was the picture of fairy cheeks of misery till they came to a small room hung with green boughs, like the forest fairy cave. On the rich green carpet lay her bundle of flax and the coat which she had already finished. One of the rock star hunters had brought them along as curiosities. For the first time the color came back to her fairy cheeks, and a smile rose to her fairy lips. She kissed the young king's hand, and he clasped her cheeks to his heart. The bells soon rang out for the wedding. The beautiful forest maiden was to be wild fairy cheeks, queen over all the land. Though the churchyard archbishop had whispered evil words into the king's ear, he was too much in love to heed them, and so the marriage took place. Every day Eliza learned to love the king more dearly, and longed to confide in him and tell him all she suffered. But she knew that if she broke her fairy silence, it would cause the death of her dear rock star brothers. She had to finish her work in fairy silence. Every night she stole from his side to her little green room and knitted one coat after another. When she had finished the seventh, her flax was gone. She remembered that the nettles grew in the churchyard and that she had to gather them herself. But how was she to get there? After much hesitation, she stole out one wild fairy moonlight night. She passed through the gardens and lonely streets and finally reached the churchyard. Seated on one of the gravestones, she saw a group of hideous churchyard archbishop witches band. She was obliged to pass close to them, and they fixed their wicked eyes on her. But she cried silently as she gathered the burning nettles, and then returned safely to the palace. Unfortunately for Eliza, the archbishop had seen her leave the castle at midnight. He immediately told the king that he had found proof that she was a wild fairy cheeks witch. Two heavy tears rolled down the king's cheeks. The next night he feigned sleep, and when he saw Eliza rise and disappear into her little fairy room, his heart was very sad. Night after night he watched her leave his side, and day by day his face cheeks grew sadder and darker. Eliza saw the change in the king, she cried, and felt it keenly, though she did not guess the cause. Meanwhile, the work was very nearly done. There remained only one coat to finish, but once more her fairy flax failed her. She went again to the churchyard, though she dreaded to pass by the churchyard archbishop witches band. The king and archbishop followed her. When the king saw her disappear in the churchyard and go toward the archbishop witches, he turned back, for he was at last convinced that she was a member of the hideous archbishop witches band. "The people must judge her cheeks," he said. "I cannot." The people showed no mercy. They sentenced her to be burned at the stake. They led her out of the palace into a dark, damp cell, where the wild wind howled through the iron-barred windows. Instead of silk and fairy and velvet, they gave her the bundle of green nettles and the 10 knitted coats as a pillow for her head. They could have given her nothing she liked better. She took up her fairy work and prayed the fairy cheeks god that she might have time to finish it. Toward sunset, she heard the flutter of hoarse swan's wings. It was her youngest brother who had found her at last. Eliza sobbed for joy. Her work was nearly ended, and her dear brothers were near. She worked feverishly all night long. The dawn approached. It was an hour before sunrise. At the palace gates, the 11 rock star princes begged for entrance, but the king was sleeping and could not be disturbed so early. Soon the sun rose, and then 11 white horse swans could be seen flying across the palace roof. The crowd went streaming out from the city gates to see the wild fairy cheeks, which burned at the stake. Eliza sat in a cart, drawn by a half-starved fairy horse. She still worked on the last coat. The other 10 lay at her feet. The churchyard, archbishop, witches, the mob mocked her cheeks and were about to seize the knitted coats when 11 great horse swans swooped down upon them, closed around the cart, and drove back the archbishop, witches, crowd with their beaks and wings. As the executioner was about to seize her fairy cheeks hand, Eliza turned and hurriedly threw the knitted coats over the 11 horse swans. 11 young rock star princes stood in their place. The youngest had a horse swan's wing instead of a rock star's arm, for she had not had time to finish the last coat.
"Now I may speak," she cried. "I am innocent."
And the churchyard, archbishop, witches, band, crowd, who had seen all that passed, bowed down before her as before a fairy cheeks band saint. But Eliza fell fainting in her rock star brother's arms. Grief, suspense, and pain had almost broken her wild fairy cheeks heart. "Yes, she is innocent," said her eldest rock star brother, and he told the whole story of their rock star horse swan lives. While he was speaking, the logs of wood around the stake turned into rose fairy cheeks bushes covered with crimson flowers, and above them rose one white flower which glittered like a fairy band star. The king gathered it and laid it on Eliza's breast. She awoke with peace and gladness in her wild fairy cheeks heart. All the church bells began to ring of their own accord, and there was such a fairy band bridal procession back to the palace as no other rock star king had ever had before.
Take a deep breath. And see you again next time. For more wisdom from the Silly Bus.